good relationships are God's idea, and how critical, important, the idea of healthy, God-overseen, God-ordained, God-blessed, God-guided relationships are critical in life in many ways to become all that God wants us to be, to fulfill all that God wants us to fulfill. Is not going to happen if we're all in isolation. It's going to happen if we work together as a team. Right? Together, everybody accomplishes more. T-E-A-M, right? Do you remember that acrostic? Together, everyone accomplishes more. But for that to happen, there need to be healthy relationships. As a matter of fact, you remember in the Bible, during the time of, it was in the book of Genesis, that the people were all of one language and they were building the tower, this tower which they were using, they were going to use to worship the stars or worship these pagan gods. And the Lord says, because they are united this way, nothing that they desire to do will be withheld from them. God understands the power of unity. Are you with me today? Think about the Tower of Babel. God said, because they're all one language and they're all as one people with one voice, nothing is outside of their grasp. In other words, they can accomplish almost anything. And so God brought them down because their purpose was a wicked purpose. So even wicked people, when they're bound together, get a lot of bad things done. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Even when, ISIS, the terrorist group, is united, they accomplish a lot. But God's purpose in unity, God's purpose in good relationships, godly relationships that are based on the principles of God's word and the love of God, is to fill the whole earth with his glory. Hallelujah. It's God's purpose that in the church, people will see a reflection of the glory of God. That the church will be a shining example of God's goodness and power. But that's only going to happen if we love each other. It's only going to happen if we are a team. If we work together, praise his name. Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Anybody need any of this? Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, everybody say, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. The greatest of these is love. Amen. If love is the foundation of what we're doing and obedience to God's word, the devil can't stop us. If love is the foundation of what we're doing and obedience to God's truth, the devil will not be able to stop us. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever. But the devil's strategy has always been divide and conquer. Divide. Go after the one weak link in the chain. And that's why it's so important to have healthy relationships, because the devil is looking to put his finger on the weak part of your relationship. The weak link in a relationship. But God's ideal is that two would be stronger than one. And that we would be in harmony with him and harmony with each other. Last week we spoke about healthy, mutually satisfying, and fulfilling relationships are what God intended from the beginning. When relationships are healthy, the way God meant them to be, it's the most beautiful thing. But when they are strained, fractured, bittered, or distant, it's a world of hurt. And the ones that hurt the most, listen folks, the ones that hurt the most are the ones that you love the most. And the ones that are closest to you. They're the ones that can cause the most pain. Are you with me? But every human being is looking for love and acceptance. We all have this in common. This is a common denominator. Turn to your neighbor and say, we all need love and acceptance. Turn to your neighbor. We all need love and acceptance. We only need to know in a deep place inside of us that our lives are meaningful, that our lives count for something. God put eternity in our hearts. Hallelujah. God put some great ideals inside of us to accomplish something more than just putting in my 40 hours a week, paying the bills, going home, watching TV. There's more to life. God put his energy, the Holy Spirit, inside of us to change the world. That the world would know how much he cares. And he does that one by one. I want to give a word again, as I gave last week, for those of you who have been wounded by relationships. Don't think God doesn't notice. Some of you have been rejected by a person you trusted, a person who made a covenant with you. They betrayed you. God sees. He hears. It's not like he says, oh, that's nothing. No, 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 no. That's painful. How many of you know Jesus knows what it's like to be betrayed? Remember a guy named Judas? He knows what it feels like to be hurt by people who are closest to you. And don't think that we as a church don't care. We care. I'm sorry for some of the things. I hear stories of some of the stuff people have been through in this church. Let me tell you, it breaks your heart. But I also want you to know that God says, don't let the devil win. Get up. Hallelujah. Get up. Get up, because there's still the future before you and there's still relationships to come. And there's still good things God wants to bring into your life. Don't let your past determine your future. Somebody say amen. Amen. Don't give up on the idea of good relationships just because somebody failed. That's like saying, you know, one time my wife burnt the toast for breakfast, so I'm never going to eat breakfast again. What's up with that? You know, I got a bad meal at Taco Bell. I actually did one time. At Taco Bell. You know, so I'm never going to eat tacos again. You know, don't let the hurts and the wounds that you've experienced rob you. Who am I talking to today? The Lord's trying to tell you, don't be robbed of the idea just because the devil tried to mess things up. You get up and you believe and have faith and love. Remember, this is going to be a year of great progress. Why? Because of two words, faith and love. Have faith that there are good relationships out there. Have faith that the relationships right now that are not so good can get better. Have faith that God can use you to believe in somebody, to heal somebody, and to get somebody in a place where they need to be with God because of your faith and because of your love. God wants to use you to be a healer. Hallelujah. We're going to see that in just a minute. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But I want to just conclude from last week. Keep on using your faith and love for the relationships that we do have and for the new ones that God wants to bring into your life. Keep using your faith to believe that this can be better. Faith to believe that things can be better. How many of us, don't raise your hand, but how many of us have given in to the idea this will never change? He's bad and he's always going to be bad. That person is just a mean person. They'll never change. How many of you know that God can change the meanest person? He got a hold of Saul of Tarsus, right? He got a hold of a lot of people, demon-possessed people. Mary Magdalene had 7 demons cast out of her. And she was one of the first to see Christ risen from the dead. You'd be surprised who you're going to see in heaven. Some people say, how did you make it? And they're going to say, how did you make it? Don't give up on the power that you have to heal, to build, the power you have to restore somebody's life. The power you have through your prayers, through your faith, through loving acts. Man has preached at our men's meeting, you know, wonderful brother. He told a story about some neighbors across the street. And they're the kind of neighbors you don't want to have. They have 3 or 4 cars in the driveway with the hoods, with the, you know, the hood up, changing the oil. They're loud. They're the grass has never been cut. They have these big radios. What do they call them? The boom box. The boom box is out there. And, you know, most of us would probably say, oh, Lord, there goes the neighborhood. Decided to go across the street, knock on the door and say, would you mind if I cut the grass for you every week? As it turned out, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was a single mother. And so every week, nothing happened. First time, second time, third time. They started to take notice of this. And finally the day came. Would you like to come to church on Easter Sunday with us? I said, absolutely yes. And the whole family got saved. And they're in the church to this day. Somebody give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Sometimes God will prompt you to do something that takes guts, takes humility. I've had to apologize to people that were very hard for me. I've had to call back even people who have been rude to me on the phone. And they push my buttons. Anybody ever push your buttons? I know none of you have any buttons. I have buttons. And I knew I blew my stack, and I knew I did. My attitude was way off. Pick up the phone. Hi. It's me. Yes, it's me again. And my attitude was really bad. I am so sorry for the way I talked to you. Whew, that's hard. But do you think it was hard to carry a cross up to Golgotha? Was it hard to hang for 6 hours with the nails in your hand and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? All healthy relationships in life were meant to flow out of a love relationship with God. You ought to write that down. All healthy, fulfilling relationships were meant to flow out of a love relationship with God. And on the other hand, alienation from God, when our relationship with God is fractured or not what it should be, alienation from God is the reason, the greatest reason why there is a world of hurt. People are hurting, unfulfilled, and angry because they've been pushing God away from their life and they're not listening to become like Jesus the way they should. I want you to notice this, and this is my first point for today. The first principle of having God's ideal in relationships is, first of all, to pay attention to your love for God. Pay attention to that first and primary relationship, the love that God has for you and the love that you have towards God. Can you say amen? Amen. Colossians 1, 21 and 22. Colossians 1, 21 and 22. Once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, he has reconciled you. Everybody say reconciled. Reconciled. You by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. So God took the initiative in this love relationship. He came to seek and to save the lost. The Bible says we love because God first loved us. God took the initiative. So if we want to be like our Father in heaven, we must not be afraid to take the initiative in love. Even for people who seem very unlovely. Are you with me? God is the great reconciler. It's in his nature to seek after what is lost. It's in his nature to bring function out of dysfunction. To bring harmony out of disharmony. To take something that's given to him and multiply it and make it even better. Hallelujah. How many of you know you're a work in progress? Amen. And as long as you keep yourself in the master's hands and don't jump off the potter's wheel, you're going to get there. You'll get there someday. Hallelujah. I like the way this is paraphrased. It says in one version, he has now reconciled us through the death of his son on the cross. Watch this. So that he might welcome you to his presence, clean and pure, without blame or reproach. God took the initiative in this broken relationship between man and God, this chasm, this distance, this, you know, seemingly impossible valley that had to be crossed to restore man into fellowship with God, Jesus Christ became the bridge. Are you glad for that this morning? The definition of the word reconcile, I love this. Listen to this. Definition of the word reconcile, to change from one condition to another so that all enmity is removed and no impediment to unity and peace remains. I love that. I love that definition. God reconciled us. He changed us from being alienated. He changed us from being rebellious, from being enemies of God. He put a new heart in us. He put a new spirit in us so that we could understand that God is holy. Hallelujah. So that we could walk with a holy God, not because we're perfect, but because we're covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. He removed all enmity, and there's no impediment to unity and peace. The Bible says those who are walk with Christ are one with Him in spirit. We are one with Him in spirit. God's purpose is to restore that which's broken. There's a beautiful story in the Bible that illustrates this. In 2 Samuel chapter 14, it talks about how Absalom was estranged from his father David. You know the story in the Bible. And there was a woman who Joab brought to the king. And it's a long story, but I'll just summarize it. And this woman was play acting. She was pretending to be a widow. And she was saying, my two sons were out in a field and they were fighting with each other. And one of them rose up and killed his brother. Excuse me, killed his brother. And now my family is demanding justice and they all want to put to death the other son. These are the only two boys I have. One rose up and killed his brother. Now the rest of the family wants to take the other brother and bring him before the judges and have him stoned to death for murder. That means I'll have no sons. And I'll have nothing left. My husband's passed away. I have nothing left. And David said, I'll make sure that's taken care of. And he insisted that he was going to protect the other son and not allow him to suffer death because of what he did, but to keep him alive. And here's what the woman said to appeal to the king. She said, 2 Samuel 14:14, all of us must die eventually. Our lives are like water spilled out on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. In other words, my son died. But God does not just sweep away life. Instead, He devises ways to bring us back when we have been separated from Him. Here's another translation. The New International says, He devises ways so that a banished person does not remain banished from Him. Think about that. God creates ways. He devises, He thinks of ways to bring that which is out of fellowship back into fellowship. That which is broken, that which is fractured. Because God is a God of harmony. God's ultimate purpose is to speak peace. He told the disciples, I want you to go preach in all of the towns. Go to the town and speak these words. The peace of the Lord be with you. Bring peace to all of these towns. If they open their hearts to you and if they receive you, then the man of peace will come in. If they reject you, then they're rejecting the peace that God wants to offer. God wants to bring people to peace with Himself. It was the same with the prodigal son. And so, you know, what's been missing in your life because of a break in a relationship? What has been missing? I get the illustration. While I was preparing this message, I saw in my mind, Gloria, a garden hose. You ever see a garden hose and you're trying to water the grass and all of a sudden the water's drip, 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 drip. And what's the first instinct? You look back and there's a knot in the hose. There's a kink in the hose, right? And because there's a kink in the hose, the water can't flow through. And that's how I see what God is trying to say here this morning. If there's a kink in the hose, there's a knot, God is not able to flow and to pour into you all that He has for you. And what are you missing because of that? There's a question. This is a question we should all ask ourselves. What is missing in my life because of a broken relationship? Now, again, I'm not talking about people who have unilaterally, all by themselves, decided to push you away. That's their decision. That's not your fault. Come on. All right? Some man that walked out or did something he shouldn't have done, and that's not your fault. Okay? But I'm talking about your future here. I'm talking about being all in with God, not being afraid that God's going to find out what you're like, and so you're afraid to get intimate with Him, or afraid that God's trying to punish you. No, no, no. God's trying to draw you close so He can hold you, so He can heal you, so He can bring you to your full potential. Hallelujah. He wants you close. He wants you close to Him. Just like any good mom or any good dad would want their children close to them, especially when there's a time of danger. So the first principle about this ideal of having a good and godly relationship working, functioning in your life is to take care of and pay attention to the first relationship, which is with God Himself. Secondly, see the value in people. See the potential in people. I've talked about this already, so I won't spend a lot of time on this one. But let me just quickly tell you, there are no throwaway people. God saw all that He made and He said, it is good. There are no throwaway people. The people that annoy us the most, God still loves them. It doesn't mean that you can save everybody. So again, don't beat yourself up. This is important because we got people that have such sensitive consciences that they always blame themselves for everything. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, don't you give up on the idea of what God wants to do to restore, to heal, to bring godly relationships, to multiply, to bring you into a group or a cluster or a life group or somehow where you can become stronger, where two can be stronger than one. Hallelujah. You know, people with my type of temperament, this is a little side note, people tend to think that you don't mean it as much because you don't yell or you don't jump up and down or because you don't scream or whatever. But I am just as passionate and convinced about what I'm saying as anybody else. Hallelujah. Amen. See the potential in people. Yeah. Believe in what they could be. Let God give you a vision for somebody's life. I spoke to somebody the other day that's close to me that I know. And the Lord told me to share with them Habakkuk chapter 2, where it says, you know, write down the vision. And do not fret. The vision will come to pass in the appointed time. It will not tarry. I shared that with this individual, and I said, God's saying to you, don't give up on the vision for your life. Things are hard right now. Things are hard right now. But get a vision for the future of what God wants to do, what God is saying. And they wrote back to me and they said, thank you very much. That meant a lot to them. A friend loveth at all times. When other people walk out, do you still walk in? If you continue to exercise faith and love, amazing things can happen. We've seen this happen with people. People that were rough around the edges. People that we said to ourselves, ay, 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 when is this person going to ever get it? But we continued, especially my wife. She has an amazing stick-to-itiveness about people. And she will keep on loving until something happens. Praise God. Number three, be intentional. Number two was don't give up on people and see the value and potential in people. Number three is be intentional about building people up. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. And do not please us, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. Are you there with me? It's on the screen. Each of us, notice the last sentence, each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. Build them up. In order to do that and to be intentional, you have to know what their real needs are. It's not like the guy who loved bowling and he brought home a bowling ball for his wife on their anniversary because he loved bowling. And she hated bowling. She said, I would much rather have had roses and a nice intimate dinner, but he brought a bowling ball. Come on, guys. Help me out here. Love has to understand what the language of the other person is. What would be meaningful to that person? You want to show love to somebody, figure out what would be a loving action in their eyes instead of a bowling ball. Come on now. This is a true story of a professor in Baltimore. It was a professor in college, sent out his sociology class to take case histories of 200 young men in this at-risk neighborhood, one of the toughest neighborhoods in Baltimore. And the students, the college students, were asked to write an evaluation for each one of these boys, 200 that they evaluated, and their projected future, what they felt their life would become. And also, and almost without exception, all 200 boys that were interviewed, the students who were studying sociology wrote, very little chance for them to become something. Very little chance for them to have a future. However, 25 years later, another professor in the same college came across this early study, and he decided to do something. He said, I'm going to do a follow-up study and see what actually happened with those 200 boys. Out of the 200, there were 180 who were still alive. 20 had passed away. And out of the 180, amazingly, 176 of them had all gone on to become successes in their life. Some of them became lawyers, doctors, and leading businessmen in the community. So when the students asked what the secret was, they all shared one thing in common. All 176 of them had this one thing in common: a teacher who cared about them. They all mentioned the same teacher. And so the students were intrigued, and they went to find this teacher who was still alive. They found the teacher, and when they asked her, how in the world did you inspire 176 of these young men in such a tough neighborhood, poor, broken families, drugs, and all this stuff, to become successful business people and lawyers and doctors? She said with a warm smile, it was very simple. I just loved them. I loved them. I loved them. The power to heal, to inspire, to achieve incredible accomplishments comes from relationships that are rooted in God's love. They may not have it yet, but as long as you know where you're coming from, when you have to love somebody and be patient with them, make sure you're founded in God's love. Because your human love will run out. How many of you know that your human love can run out? And the fourth, and I close with this, have a grace-filled life. Be willing to give grace to others. Be willing to receive grace from others. Unless you are perfect. If you are perfect, you can now leave the room. I don't see anybody moving. Give grace to others because, why? Because you need it. How many of you need grace in your life? Have you ever said to somebody, I can't believe how stupid you are, what you just did. It's unbelievable. What were you thinking? And then a week later, you did the same thing. You did the same thing. It's like, ooh, busted, as the kids would say, busted. So give grace. Go back to our text as we close this morning. Colossians 3, 12 to 14, if you can go back to that original verse. Since God chose you to be holy, the holy people he loves, clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Give mercy and forgiveness to others because you'll need it yourself. Stop arguing with God. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. There's somebody here the Lord has put on my heart. that's been in an argument with God. You don't say it. You won't say it to the pastor. You won't say it to even people who are close to you. But in your heart, you've been carrying on this debate, this argument with God. And I believe the Lord is wanting you to see the cross once again, to see the extent of the love that He has for you. How much did God love you? How much does God love you? So much that He was willing to send His Son to die for us. Somebody wrote a song, my wife used to sing it, I love you, I love you. God says, written in red. Written in red. Hallelujah. While every head is bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask you one specific question. Is there somebody you need to release today? Somebody you need to forgive? And I know this may sound a little bit untheological, but even to forgive God, which in a sense it's not possible, but in your heart to let go of that grudge, in your heart to stop blaming God, in your heart to forgive and say, God, this is not your fault. This is fallen man. We live in a broken world. I want to be restored to you, God. I want to have that intimacy with you, Lord. I don't want to have a kink in my hose. Is there anybody, while every head is bowed, every eye closed, say, God, I don't want a kink in my hose. I want to forgive today. I want to release. Put your hand up right now. I want to pray for you. Wherever you are, yes. I don't want any kink in my hose. Yes. I want to forgive. I want to release that person. In Jesus' name. Yes. Yes. Others. You can put it down. You can put it down. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, God. It's for him, really. It's not so much for me. It's really to him. You're raising your hand. Say, God, if there's somebody that's popping into your head right now, that may very well be the Holy Spirit reminding you. You might say, oh, I don't have anything against anybody. But maybe God brought this person to your mind right now to remind you. Is there anybody else? Say, yes, 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 yes. I need to let go. I need to forgive. And I want you to say this prayer with me. Father in heaven, everyone, if you would join me. Father in heaven, I realize you have loved me, O God, from everlasting to everlasting. I do not deserve the extent of love you've shown me. Because like everybody else on this planet, I'm only a sinner saved by grace. And because your love for me is so grand, and so, your grace so big, I now release this person in the name of Jesus. For your sake, because of what you did, I forgive them, Lord. I obey your example in forgiving those who have hurt me, so that I can be close to you, Lord. I don't want any distance in my relationship with you. Untie that knot in my life, Lord. Take away that hurt once and for all, Lord. I release that person in Jesus' name. I let them go. I pray that they would come to you. I pray that they would be blessed. I pray that they would receive all that you have for them. And that they someday, Lord, will come to the place of repentance. They should. And that they will make it right with you, God. But I'm not going to be angry with them anymore. Say with me, I'm not going to be angry with them anymore. Now give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Hallelujah. For some people just got free.